I'm a member of the Scots Kirk in Lausanne, and I am following a readership program where I am being trained to be a worship leader. And I have two placements to do. This is my second placement with you for 6 months. You have to put up with me for 6 months, I'm afraid. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, to be among you, to participate, to preach this morning. And I appreciate Clive's time and help and his mentorship to me through these last few weeks. So let us pray. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit be with us today in my words, in all of our hearts and minds, to bring glory to you, to bring glory to your name. Amen.
Amen.
As part of my training, I take courses. I've been taking courses at Aberdeen University. And one course that I took recently was called, What Is It to Be Human? And it looked at this question from the view of disability. To be fully human, do we have to be able to plan, to remember, to communicate, create, to love, to think, enjoy beauty, to live independently? Do we need to contribute to society? Do we need a sense of humor? Should we act like everybody else? Severely disabled people often don't appear to be able to do much of the above. Are they still fully human? Some would say no. Many wouldn't be sure. But the biblical point of view is a resounding yes. People born with disabilities are fully human. Disability challenges modern society, and it goes right to the core of the question of what it is to be human. As Christians, we believe that God has imprinted his image on each one of us. Every child is born in God's image. Because of this, we search for him as his creatures. We seek him. We look for meaning in life. We ask all the big questions of what is our purpose here. Is it happiness? What are humans for? We continuously search to find completeness in our lives. And it is so easy to look in the wrong places. The only thing that can satisfy the human heart is to be connected to our Creator, who put his image on us. We have his image, the image of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three personalities, if you like, of God, are in relationship with each other. Some have described it as if they're dancing together. This shows us that God is fundamentally a relational God. His essence is relation within himself and with us. We have that image imprinted on us. We are relational creatures. We search for him, and he is actively searching for us to have a connection. All people are made in God's relational image, no matter what ability we have or what we don't have. This is what makes us human. This image that has been imprinted on each human is, in a way, God's stamp of approval. It marks to whom we belong, where we came from, who made us, and who loves us. When we buy an appliance, we often look to see the label, to see where it's made. Is it made in China? USA? Does it have Swiss quality? When we look at humans, we need to look for the label of who made them. made in God, which gives us, each of us, immeasurable value. We are his creation. We are his creatures. We are all made for him and for each other. Our language lacks the words to find a term that respectfully describes people who are born different. The prefix dis means that something is lacking, something is dysfunctional, something needs to be fixed. As a society, we need to be careful how we use words. Words can create attitudes and affect our actions. If a word that describes a group of people has negative connotations, then that group may not be treated in a respectful manner. I use the word disabled with unease, but cannot find a better word in today's vocabulary. As imperfect beings, we often have a knee-jerk reaction against anyone who's different. This unknown, this difference, usually creates fear in us and a desire to separate ourselves from that person or group of people. Why does society want to separate itself from the most vulnerable group of people? That is a good question. People born with disabilities, ever since time began, suffered greatly. It is believed by many scholars that no other group of people have suffered as much abuse as disabled people. Ancient cultures, including the Israelites, saw disabled people as a consequence of sin, a curse, presence of evil or demons. Anyone born different was shunned, marginalized, abused, mocked, even killed or left to die. Disability brought shame on a family, brought isolation, exclusion from society. And this still occurs today. It was Jesus who first showed us another way, who pushed back, who had compassion. As we heard this morning in our passage from Matthew 15, while on earth, he loved, he valued, he spoke to, cared for, healed the disabled people who crossed his path. As Westerners, we perhaps pay more attention to the physical aspect when we're reading about Jesus' healing. But it goes much deeper than that. Jesus was restoring these people to full relationship. He was restoring them to God's image. Because of the Jewish rules about cleanliness, those who were different were not allowed to offer sacrifice to God, which broke that relationship between them and God. They could not atone for their sins, which kept them in a state of unforgiveness. They were unclean. They would be kept out of social activities, isolated, living outside of community, and this broke the relationship between them and others. The miracles restored the person into a relationship with God and with others. The miracles restored each person's relationship, restored their value and their humanity through the physical healing. The person became a whole person again. People with disability often find themselves cut off from relationship, isolated, misunderstood, not given a place in the community, not given membership, not given a name or the respect. And as it would in anyone who's treated like this, this treatment creates feelings of fear, frustration, confusion, and mistrust. They are diminished. God's image in them is not satisfied. It's not allowed to flourish through relationship. Over the centuries, there has been a continual debate about what defines being human. Sadly, countless of disabled people have suffered greatly because their full humanity hasn't been recognized or protected. Societies want people to fit in and have difficulty with people who are perceived as different. Today, the debate continues as nations decide healthcare policies for their population, where the worth of a human life is being measured in dollars and cents, in pounds and pence, francs, centimes. In such debates, the church needs to raise its voice to protect vulnerable people. Before moving on and shifting gears, I would like to recap. The image of God is relational. Everyone bears this image, everyone born, no matter what their abilities are. The image shows that we are loved and we are precious to God. All people need relationships to be whole, to be connected to God and to others, no matter what their ability is. Now I'd like to tell you about L'Arche, Arch in English, L'Arche, founded by Jean Vanier in France. Jean Vanier was born in Geneva in 1929 to Canadian parents. He fled Paris before the German occupation as a boy with his family. Later, he assisted survivors of concentration camps, which left a deep impression on him. While studying to become a naval officer, he felt a call in another direction. Studied theology and philosophy, became a professor at a university in Toronto. Later, again, he felt God's nudging him in another direction. Through his friendship with Father Thomas Philip, became aware of the plight of thousands of disabled people. He felt God calling him to serve the most severely mentally disabled people, people who had no place to go, people who lived in extreme isolation. So in 1964, he and Father Thomas invited two severely disabled men to live with them, and that was the beginning of L'Arche. Today, there are 147 L'Arche communities in 37 different countries. Jean Vanier recounts his story of a very transformational experience that changed him forever and created the very essence of L'Arche. I can't paraphrase his words. It's much better to read his words that he wrote himself. Lucien was born with severe mental and physical disabilities. He cannot walk or talk or move his arms. His body is a bit twisted, and he has to remain in his wheelchair or his bed. He never looks anyone directly in the eyes. Lucien's father died when he was 12. He lived the first 30 years of his life with his mother, who cared for him, understood him, and understood his needs. She could interpret all of his body language. He was at peace and felt secure with her. One day, she fell sick, and she had to go to the hospital. Lucien was put into another hospital and was plunged into a totally strange and unknown world. He had lost all his familiar points of reference. No one seemed to understand him. Screams of anguish rose up in him, which were unbearable to hear. Finally, he came to La Forestière. When faced with his constant screaming, we felt quite powerless. We tried to touch him and calm him down. This very touch seemed to increase his anguish. There was nothing to do but wait. The pitch of Lucien's scream was piercing and seemed to penetrate the very core of my being, awakening my own inner anguish. I could sense anger, violence, and even hatred rising up within me. I would have been capable of hurting him to keep him quiet. It was as if a part of my being that I had learned to control was exploding. It was not only Lucien's anguish that was difficult for me to accept, but the revelation of what was inside my own heart, the capacity to hurt others. I, who had been called to share my life with the weak, had a power of hatred for a weak person. The screams and the nonstop crying of this man pushed Jean over the edge, where he wanted to do violence to stop the man from screaming. And he understood that he had violence inside of himself. He realized, like never before, how much he needed Christ, how poor in spirit he was, how dark he was inside, his total dependency on Jesus to be made whole. He realized the depth of his fragility and the vulnerability, and most important, he found that Jesus was there in the darkness. Jesus on the cross, in his state of weakness and vulnerability. With Christ, he faced his violence and darkness inside his own poverty, realizing his complete dependence on Christ. He there discovered a source of living water. And through this, he understood an entirely new level the depth of Christ's love for him. Everything. This turned everything upside down. Who was helping who? There had been a transformation. Jules Vanier thought that he was called to help this very mentally disabled man, and found that this man was teaching him about Christ's love, about relationship. It was as if the ground had leveled. Teacher became student. Student became teacher. Carer became the receiver of care. Jean Vanier opened the center, and over time volunteers came to help, and each one was faced with the great divide between our modern worldview and God's worldview. Volunteers coming to do good for poor people, they thought. There was an unspoken superiority felt in the one who's coming to give help. Each volunteer reaches the same place. It's being pushed to the edge. And if they cannot navigate this experience with humility, then they leave L'Arche prematurely without experiencing the transformation, without receiving the gift offered by the resident. They miss the discovery of Christ. The disabled people living at L'Arche are called core members. It is so important how we name things. Core members. And the volunteers who come are called assistants. Disability is a key that opens the door directly into the heart and mind of God. At the foot of the cross, do we see a Savior powerful, in glory, dazzling, good-looking? No, we see a helpless, suffering, bleeding, humiliated, vulnerable, dying Christ. This is the face of Christ. Christ, the victim, who is present, ever present in every victim, and who is present in disability. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. We live in a goal-oriented world that worships efficiency, speed, power, competition, wealth, and glamour. We are led to believe that we are in control of our lives and are independent. And if we're not too careful, we do a pretty good job believing this, living this daily in our jobs and our activities and our leisure time. Disability pierces through that thin veneer, challenging the Western world's view, and can bring us back to God. This is why society has a knee-jerk reaction against disability. We as a society do not want to acknowledge our dependence on God, and disability is a constant reminder that we are indeed dependent. I would go as far to say that when we assume that we are our own master, determining our own destiny, when we aren't aware of our deep poverty and need for Christ, then we ourselves are the disabled ones. We have an invisible disability. Because of our illusion of being independent, we can't see God. It reminds me of the spiritual Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. John Newton was describing a similar transformation that he had experienced. In God's eyes, what society calls normal are in many ways the disabled ones. In God's eyes, people we call disabled are the normal ones, those who know that they are dependent and vulnerable. I truly believe that disabled people are the core members of God's kingdom. Being human isn't a measure of intellect. It is a vulnerability, a dependence on a loving Creator God. He is our Creator with whom we need to be in relationship with in order to find ourselves. We are made to give and to receive love from God and each other. Disability is a wake-up call to everyone to go back to God. Only if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. People born with disability are a gift. In Romans 12, each member of Christ's body, the church, is a gift to the community and plays a role. And it is no different for disabled people who are calling us back to God, reminding us of our dependence on Him. So as a church, we need to care for and cherish this gift in our community. Are they welcomed? Do we have a place for them? Do they belong? Do we see them as a person before we see their disability? Do we create a graceful space for meeting, for listening, understanding, and creating mutual trust? Do we offer friendship? Do we receive friendship? To build a relationship to restore their humanity. To do this, we need to be present. We need to take time. We need to slow down. It isn't a problem or an interruption, but it's an opportunity to learn about God's deep love for humans. Through disability, we can learn who we are, dependent, vulnerable people in great need of Christ. Through disability, we find a key to understanding Christ. Something that gives life meaning, we find the key to transformation. Glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.